Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
This podcast is brought to you by Homul Casino Resort, the player's place.
Well, happy Friday, everybody. Ben and Woods, 97.3. The Fan, we get it. You're wet out there. You're moist. And you're just driving everyone crazy. Not you, San Diego. I'm over it officially. I want to know, have you ever seen the rain? Yes, every day in San Diego for the last 2 weeks, it feels like. And sick of it. I don't like being wet and moist at all. But we are still here. So welcome in. Trying to get our heads right. I've been up since 1:30. Paulie's been up since like 2:30. It's our executive producer, Paul Rindel. Good morning, Paulie.
Hey, how are you?
I'm great. Tired. Ben Higgins, today on World Television Day, by the way. Happy World Television Day
to our
friendly neighborhood sports anchor.
I'm the opposite. I slept into the alarm and then hit the snooze into the second alarm this morning. Tough to get up on a Friday.
So I got up at like 1:30, was wide awake. I had a bad dream. I had a really, really bad dream. And I was freaked out. I couldn't go back to sleep. So I pulled up my phone, just started scrolling my phone, looking for anything to talk about or anything I missed. Like a wild ending last night in the Troy-USC game that I know we'll talk about.
Maybe that's why I slept so late, because I stayed up for the end of that game.
What time did that thing end?
About 10 p.m.
Oh, yeah. I was dead asleep.
And if you wonder, it was exactly like the Troy-San Diego State game 2 days ago. Exactly. Except it went triple overtime instead of double overtime.
Just an insane ending. Paulie showed it to me this morning. But I got up, and I'm just scrolling my phone. So I flip over to Instagram, and it's got that feature where it says, like, hey, here's your friends. And Paulie had the green dot next to his name. And I'm like, what are you doing awake?
Which is weird, because I didn't see that until like 3:30 or 4 o'clock. I don't think I was up that early.
It was green.
Somebody was on my account.
Megan. Megan. So I look, I'm like, what are you doing up? Has my executive producer developed a drug problem that I need to be aware of? Because there's no good reason, unless you're insane like me, that you would be up at that early. So I DM Paul. He did. He wrote me back in like an hour. He's like, oh, I've been up since, you know, 3 or whatever. It was terrible. But yeah, and then you walk outside and you're like, oh my God, more rain, just more cancellations of games, more reschedule. Now, when they reschedule all the games and cancellations, it all just, hey, we're going to do, so there's going to come a weekend where Hannah's like, Bo's got 4 games and a tournament, and he's got soccer, and Taylor's got 3 T-ball make. Like, it's going to be insanity. So I'm really, really over it. Plus, my folks are in town, right? And I wanted them to be able to watch Bo play some baseball. Doesn't look like that's going to happen. I'm sure all the fields are underwater. But we do have two flag football games tonight. Two. And they said in the email, rain, shine, no matter what is happening.
It's football.
You're playing
out there.
Yep. And they're 7, right? So they are, they're going to play. Now, I think I've been twice demoted from the team. I was the defensive coordinator. I went out of town one weekend. I got demoted for a guy that doesn't wear shoes. And he was good. He knows his stuff way more than I do. But I had thrown, you know, I pitched a bunch of shutouts. So then the head coach is out of town. He's like, the guy I was also going to have call the place, he's also out of town. So now it's you. I'm like the Kyle Hart.
You're probably the first coach in football history who ever started as defensive coordinator, was demoted,
yes,
and then was promoted to offensive coordinator later in the same season.
Isn't that wild?
I doubt that's ever happened before.
I'm one of one. So I get to call the plays tonight. Our starting quarterback is out. That's his son. They're going to Las Vegas. And so that means my son is the starting quarterback. Now, that's not, this isn't daddy ball here. He's the backup quarterback. Tonight, he's the starter. So he's got, I got my kid as the starter, and I'm the offensive coordinator. I'm a nervous wreck. I mean, that's probably why I didn't sleep, if I'm being honest with you. Sitting there thinking about plays and whatnot, but.
Feels like this may be a pivotal moment in your father-son relationship. Are you going to call the right plays that puts your son in a position to succeed, or will you leave him hung out to dry against the opposing team with the wrong play calls?
He does not like to be told anything by me. Hey, man, make sure you step into that throw. I got it! Ugh! I'm like, So I'm very nervous about it, how it goes. My dad's going to be there, of course. Maybe I should let my dad call. He was a football player. Take this thing and you go call the plays. I'll watch from the sideline. Put your ass to work while you're here. You know what I mean? So it wouldn't be the first time I've sloughed it off on my dad to handle. But, yeah, man, we'll see how it goes tonight. So we got that. But other than that, man, yeah, trying to, you know, I want to keep my parents entertained and the kids want to see them. And so it's been a lot. And this rain throws a monkey wrench into it.
He can be the Marty Schottenheimer to your Brian Schottenheimer.
Would he? Yes, he's the Marty and I'm the Brian. Yeah, so I will see. I'll definitely lean on him for some advice tonight. But, yeah, we got a couple of games. I'm excited about it. Bo's excited about it. So that's all I care about. The coach goes, he emails me all his ideas. He's like, make sure you bring some towels so you can keep the ball dry. I'm like, all right, if it's dumping rain and I have a towel and I dry the ball off, then my towel's wet. How many towels do you think I should bring to keep running back and forth the side, you know
14.
What I mean? 14 to, towels. Well, there's two games, eight quarters.
Bring a box to keep them
just
dry.
A big. All right, so I need to go find a big giant box of towels in a bin so that they don't get wet, and I'll just constantly run off and on. All right, yeah, I want to make sure. This is what we talk about when we say our kids are a little spoiled. They'll be fine.
That seems like a team mom job. Is Hannah the team mom, or is there a team mom?
No, Hannah hates football. Hates football. Why is it a team mom job? Why not a team dad job, Paulie? Hit him with it. I can't believe you guys both got misogyny bell rung on you this week, and I didn't. Not even once.
Well, let's just say, feels like it's not necessarily the offensive coordinator's job to bring the towels. Equipment manager.
You think because moms are better at cleaning?
I think it's more that they're better at preparing than we are.
It's very true. Very true. Oh, you've stepped in it. I'm sure my wife heard that, and now you are going to be on her list, and you don't want to be on her list. So, yeah, we got that tonight. Looking forward to that. Walked in this morning. I got here early because I was up. Clicked open my email, and I went, oh, all right, well, before I get out of here today, I'm going to have to cut a couple of new commercials for my beloved Sedano Ford. You know, we're going to be out Thursday and Friday, and, of course, next Friday is
Black Friday.
You know, auto dealer, you're going to sell it. So I'm looking at the copy. I go, okay, yeah, here's the prices, whatever, normal, standard Sedano Ford copy. And then something jumped off the page at me, and I told Paulie about it. So it says in it, endorsement recorded. Bring it lots of energy, and for November and Turkey Day. Paul. So Paul gets a note here. Please add a music bed to this. No problem. Something compelling and that will drive people to shop Ford and Lincoln.
Ooh, you're asking a lot.
That's
of
what
music
I
music bed.
So
right
that's
there.
What I said. And I said
I said, what does that mean?
So Paulie said, any ideas? I go, no. I said, it's just a music bed for a commercial. I said, I don't know what's good. If I heard something, I would go. It's not like it's not going to hypnotize somebody. They're like, must go to Sedano Ford. So
music that makes you want to buy a Ford.
So I text on Paulie. I go, Paulie, do your thing. So Paulie goes into Google. He just Googles it. And what did you come up with?
I just Googled. Let's see here. I said, compelling music that will drive people to Sedano Ford and Lincoln. So it's compelling music for Sedano Ford and Lincoln would be a mix of classic car songs, modern driving anthems, and songs that evoke
She's
a sense of luxury.
My little deuce coupe.
You don't know what I got.
Right?
Consider Life is a Highway.
Okay, Life is a Highway. But there's copyright issues with.
Can't do that. You
can't just steal Tom Cochran's.
Or even Rascal Flatts.
Or anyway.
Perhaps On the Road Again by Willie Nelson.
On the Road Again. Just can't wait to get in my Ford again. All right.
Mustang Sally.
Mustang Sally!
That is a Ford.
Bet you want a slow. You know what I think of when I think of Mustang Sally? I think of like a 70-year-old woman at a bar that you could still smoke at singing karaoke. That's what I think of every time I hear that song. Every time I've been to karaoke, there is some, hang on, all right, here she comes. You've been waiting all night. It's Gladys. Mustang Sally, and she's dancing in her leather jacket with a Pall Mall in her mouth. Think you got a slow that Mustang
really
now.
You're giving this a lot of thought.
I did, dude. Because it drove me crazy. Mustang Sally. I hate that song. I hate it just because of the karaoke, dude. Just because of the karaoke. Is that it? Those three?
Those were the main ones.
All right.
Hot Rod Lincoln, Asleep at the Wheel, River.
I don't know those ones.
I don't know any of those songs, yeah. I guess we'll just stick with Mustang Sally.
Eric says, I think of a stripper pole and a nightclub for Mustang Sally. If I went to a gentleman's establishment and there was a female dancing to Mustang Sally, I'm leaving. I'm not. She doesn't get $1. Mustang Sally. Mustang Sally. She's spinning on the pole.
You're like, never mind.
I'm out of here. Oh, are we doing karaoke? What are we doing? I thought this was a strip club. My part's easy. I just got to read the copy. Paulie's the one that has to turn into John Williams or something and like come up with some music that's going to drive people. Must go to Sedano Ford.
I assume that there are advertising executives who've actually put a lot of thought into.
No question.
The kind of music that's going to make people buy something they want them to buy. The Don Drapers of the world.
And I ain't an ad executive.
Paulie said, Paulie's a
focus
groups.
And like they put them in a room and they go, how does this song make you feel about canned corn?
Right.
And like, what are we going
to
use?
I got in radio so I don't have to think
we have
like that.
No idea what music's going to make you want to buy a Ford or sign up for SDFatLoss.com.
Yep.
Or, you know, enjoy some eco water. No idea.
Yeah, I don't know either. So, Paul, just do your best, man. Just do your best. I'll do my best. That's really all we can do.
I'm super excited to figure it out all out on a Friday.
But on a Friday.
Make it royalty free so no one actually has heard of the song that you've been using because we're not going to pay for any of the
correct
actual songs that were suggested.
Oh, Luke Bryan has a song called My Old Bronco.
I bet it's awesome, too.
It's fantastic.
Hey, My Old Bronco. I bet it's just the worst thing.
I'm going to find it right now.
Speaking of that genre, I know you guys saw the picture that surfaced yesterday. I know you did. Because you sent it to me. Of Jelly Roll, who is now... He shaved his beard. And now, I look even more like Jelly Roll than I did before. But is this the Luke Bryan song? Ain't letting me down yet. It's a cutout picture of the 70s when everything felt so free. God. It's shallow and the that is
sorry. I had to hear it, so you had to hear it.
Yeah, that's fair.
It's one of those things.
That's fair. So Jelly Roll shaved his beard off, Ben.
I see this.
Well, this is like news, right? So he's had this beard for over a decade. And I know I always complain about Jelly Roll, and I'm always the one that brings up Jelly Roll, but Jelly Roll invades my soul since I dressed up like him for Halloween.
He doesn't look like Jelly Roll anymore.
No, he looks like me. He looks like Stephen Woods radio host with tattoos and a backwards hat.
Woodsy Roll.
Yeah, Woodsy Roll. Jelly Woods.
You have more of a beard than he does.
I have way more of a beard than he does. I got sent it yesterday. I am not okay. I just got, I sent it.
Oh my
It was sent to me like 5 times yesterday.
Are we sure that's actually him? It just doesn't even look like him at all to me.
Well, I think the tattoos give it away.
Well, yes, but, I mean, you could AI the tattoos on someone's face. He doesn't even look like him anymore.
It's crazy. the difference. Well, I wonder why you do that. Because you haven't been in the news for 15 minutes and you need something. Because that dude is everywhere. He is everywhere.
Wow.
Yeah, there it is. Yeah, there it was.
Now, you don't like the comparison.
Who?
He's 10 years younger than you are.
Who on the planet would be like, hell yeah, everybody says I look like Jelly Roll.
You look like a man 10 years younger than the 50 that you are. That's a compliment. It's a compliment.
It doesn't feel like a compliment. It doesn't. It does not. When somebody says, hey, man, you really resemble Jelly Roll, it doesn't make me happy. It makes me sad.
Goose makes a good point. Jelly Roll lost a bunch of weight, probably got a jawline now. Mm-hmm. The beard was simply to
holding
hide.
Him back.
It was to hide the extra chin that he had, and now he doesn't have it. He wants to show off his hard work.
Sucks, man. He's going to do a morning show next. I'm almost positive. But anyway, so I saw that came across. Thank you for everyone that sent it to me yesterday. Thank you. Really appreciate it. Made me feel great.
Petey Pablo says, Woods, you look so much better.
Thank you,
Petey. Had another doppelganger. He's not a celebrity. This was maybe a week or two ago.
I remember.
Some guy in like Philadelphia.
Now that guy did look
it
like
it. Scared me to death, dude.
Like stealing kid's
a
bicycle.
Yeah.
He was trying to break the lock and some guy's filming him. It got sent to me 10 times. Yeah. Like, yo, is this Woodsy? Yo, is this Woodsy? And I didn't see it at first, and then I watched it again.
It scared me to death when I saw it.
Okay, maybe. And then I watched it like a third time. I'm like, oh my God.
Go look up Philly Man Steals Bike.
You'll see it.
And the guy, when he turns, I went, ah! I was like, oh my God. I was like, we just went to Philly, but I don't remember stealing anybody's bike. It was horrific. It was horrific. Well, so that was newsworthy, I thought, for Foreplay this morning. We will have the five Randy Newman songs. The best Randy Newman songs to make love to, because I promised you that yesterday when we were getting off the air. Maybe we can do that at 8. So you're going to have to stay tuned for that. Another funny internet meme that I saw going around. But is an apology in order, Ben?
No.
From me to you.
You don't need to apologize. But
I feel like I do.
After the show yesterday, Woods texted me. Not the group thread, but just me personally.
Solo.
And you said, well, let me see exactly what you texted me, because it spun me out a little bit. Said, you good? ?
That's it?
Seemed a little down today.
Okay. Yeah, that's it. You good? You seemed a little down today. I'm checking on my guy.
And I didn't think that I was down until you told me that. And then I started thinking about, well, am I down? Am I down? Why would I be down? What is Woodsy seeing that I don't even realize myself? And normally I won't overthink such things. And
you're
I'll just
not
dismiss
an overthinker.
Them. I'm not an overthinker.
And I believed you when you said you were just tired.
And I just said, no, probably just a little, end of the long week and probably just a little tired. But then I started kind of turning it over in my mind. Like, did Woods catch on to something that even I have not noticed about myself?
And once you brought it up this morning, I knew exactly what it was.
And I realized that you were probably noticing my discomfort when we talked yesterday about Christmas gift giving. And
yes.
You would ask the question, has anyone started their Christmas shopping?
Yeah, that was just a simple, like, has anyone started? Because I had been Googling vacuum cleaners for my wife, per her request, mind you. Okay.
And as I thought about it, I quickly said, no, of course not. It's not even Thanksgiving yet.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a procrastinator when it comes to gifts. And I'm not a procrastinator about anything else.
Nope.
But I am very much a procrastinator when it comes to Christmas shopping. And I talked about, wandering around the mall. It's one of my least favorite things to do, both receive and give gifts. I never feel like I make anybody happy with the gifts that I give them. I never feel like I succeed in that. It's one of the things in life that I feel like a major failure at. So when Christmas season comes around and I start thinking about the idea of having to go shopping, it doesn't make me happy.
I noticed you were very uncomfortable. And I thought to myself, why is he so uncomfortable in this segment? And then I feel like, because it was the first segment of the day, I feel like I spun this dude out for 4 hours just by asking, have you guys started your Christmas shopping yet? And I noticed him in the open. I could, you do this with each other for a long time. You can read cues. And I noticed him kind of, like, literally, like, kind of cocooning, pulling away a little bit. And I'm like, what? Why? Like, let's just have some fun with this. But it was not fun for you.
It was not fun for me.
And I didn't know that.
It became stressful just thinking about.
And so the rest of the day.
Going shopping. Which is, a lot of people enjoy going shopping. I do not. I've never really enjoyed the process of it. I like giving gifts to people. I don't, but I just feel like I always disappoint and I can never get the right gift for someone.
All right. So I'll make it real simple for you this year, for me and Paulie. $1,000 cash each. No big deal.
I've always told that's a bad gift.
Everyone tells me that's a terrible gift.
It is, but like, that's all you got.
I love you and I don't want you to be in pain. So $1,000 cash to me and $1,000 to Paulie in a band. 20s? 50s?
Honestly, like, I got Venmo. If that takes one less thing off of your plate, Ben, you can just do Venmo instead.
Can you send $1,000? Yeah, you can. You can send $1,000. All right. $1,000. Now, Venmo's been compromised a lot. I don't want to stress you out about having to go to the bank.
I know, you already have a lot to do.
Yeah, Venmo, PayPal, it's fine.
Personal check.
If you have a personal check, I'll take a personal check. I trust you.
Zelle.
Zelle, $1,000 each, me and Paul. I want the band, though, Paul. I want to say $1,000 on top. I want the thick stack
when
of
I
cash.
When I went to a bank to get Ben's $150 in singles that we got him for his birthday, to use wherever you want. Walking out of there, even though there were ones, they were banded together.
Fat stack.
Two fat stacks.
So I should just get $1,850 more in singles, combine them with the $150 I have.
Correct.
And split them among the two of you.
Yeah, re-gift us all $150.
I feel like I'm coming out on the short end of that stick now.
Well, I think you know most of that money will be spent on you anyway. Okay? So, but I'm trying to take stuff off your plate here. So $1,000 cash, then you're in the clear. You don't have to worry about anything else. Because trust me, I'm sweating it too. I'm sweating it with my wife. I'm sweating it with you guys. You talked about that,
how, you know, Hannah will react and go, I don't like this.
Not cool.
And like, that gave me a panicky feeling. Like, the idea of giving a gift to someone and they just, like, react that they don't like it makes me feel nauseous.
You should have seen when I was courting her. I literally, no joke, when I was, like, trying to, you know, bed her, and I met her, I was like, this is love at first sight. I remember, I thought I was so cool, you guys. So I knew her brother was a country singer. Mm-hmm. So I write her in the DMs, like, this is maybe 2 days after we met. I go, hey, no big deal. By the way, I can get a Stagecoach tickets. And she's like, I'm good. I'll pass. I was like, bruh. And I remember the story she told me when she went out on the date with the former Padres pitcher, Robbie Erlin. And he said to her, hey, what did he say? He said, do you want to go to SeaWorld? She goes, no, thanks. I've been before. Like, she's just, like, she just tells it like it is. She's not going to BS you. And I remember being like, do you know how hard it is to get these Stagecoach tickets? And I can get us a pair? She goes, yeah, no, thanks. I'm not interested.
I see a lot of people in the chat saying, you know, everyone likes cash or gift cards, which is true. But at the same time, if we're all just giving each other cash,
just keep your cash. Christmas,
what's the point?
I mean,
you're right.
I guess I would say, what was ever the point?
Yeah.
They were just.
What's the point of ever giving anyone anything?
End, I gave out $700 in cash and I took in $680
in cash and gifts.
I'm down 20. Yeah. Merry Christmas. There's your holiday.
It's like the mafia weddings. They all go to each other and they the big stacks of envelopes are here. And then they, let's just save this and give it back to the next one. The next wedding. I bet you they're all just recycled envelopes of cash.
Exactly. It's like, what's the point of that?
Well, listen, I'm very, very sorry that I spun you out for the whole day. I love you. And again, I just want to make it easy on you. So, Paulie and I will be looking for that $1,000. Just whenever. You can send it early. You can send it late. Just, we'll be looking for that $1,000. And, I'm sorry. We're going to need some sentimental gifts. I apologize.
I know you will. I need something
that's so good. I don't even know that I want it.
Yes. That's what I need you to dazzle me. I want to be dazzled.
Okay, but you know what I want for Christmas?
What?
I want you to give me the best acting job that you love my present that you've ever given anybody before.
You can.
That's what I want.
You can count on it.
Convince me.
Dazzle me, and then I'll dazzle you
convince
back.
Convince me.
My greatest hits foreigner record is still one of the best ones on my
elite.
Shelf.
It's an elite.
It's so good.
Those sunglasses you re-gifted me from a golf tournament? I mean, I hate them. They just sit in my drawer, but I'll never wear them.
Ben, the stack of playing cards that you got me last year of Tropical Beauties or something.
That's elite.
I laugh at it every time I walk by and see
it. It's elite. It's an absolutely elite gift.
Are we ready to get started here on a Friday?
Yes.
All right, we'll set the menu for the program coming up next. We will talk a little bit of Padres in our next segment. Our new manager made a media appearance yesterday.
Sure did.
We can break down a little bit of what he said coming up with Ben and Woods getting started today on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. First, though, Woods, music free.
Music free, but I hope that my voice and my voice alone can compel you to head on down to Sedano, Ford, and Lincoln. They are sharing the Thanksgiving love. I'm so grateful for you. They are rolling out all these jaw-dropping Black Friday savings, all November long deals you won't find anywhere else. How about this? Lease a powerful 2025 Ford F-150, just $395 a month. If you're ready for an adventure, snag the 2025 Ford Bronco Big Ben, just $275 a month. And if it's an electric vehicle you crave, the Ford Mach-E is yours for just $258 a month. And for a holiday to remember, glide into a stunning 2025 Lincoln Corsair Hybrid, just $337 a month. Sedano, Ford, and Lincoln, your proud local and veteran-owned dealer. Thank you for choosing them over every other dealer in town. These exclusive offers will not last forever, so go to SedanoFord.com today. Lock in your deal. Restrictions apply. Don't wait another second. Don't forget to tell them Woodsy sent you. Hurry on down to Sedano, Ford, and Lincoln. Visit SedanoFord.com for all details.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
What did new Padres manager Craig Stammen say to Buster Olney on the Baseball Tonight podcast? Not a ton, but we do have some clips for you.
And, indeed.
Yeah, maybe some interesting comments more about the relationship between Stammen and Manny Machado. He elaborated on that a little bit.
I was blown away, by the way.
I was surprised by that.
I was.
Also, he talked about Fernando Tatis Jr. and perhaps getting even more out of the guy he says is a generational talent. We'll play some of that for you coming up here before the top of the hour. Also coming up on the program this morning, we can talk a little football. Week 11 is underway after last night's game, Buffalo at Houston, kind of called that one. Nice win for the Houston Texans. We will have Darren Smith joining us at 7:35. I saw him yesterday, went out to SDFC practice at their Sharp Healthcare Performance Center down at Singing Hills. Good news, by the way. Mikey Varas, when asked about the health of both Chucky Lozano and Anders Dreyer, was very terse when he was said, are those guys available? Yes.
Ooh, okay. Wait, what was wrong with Anders Dreyer?
He was sick. They kept him out of the Denmark international game over the weekend.
Oh, I did not know that. Okay.
Due to illness.
Got
it. You were hoping, like, okay, you got a week. Hopefully, it's just, if you're just sick, you'll be good by then. He trained yesterday, but so did Chucky, who had a hamstring injury and was kept out of Mexico's last game as well. That was certainly more of a concern. Now, wouldn't commit to, you know, whether Chucky would start or come in and probably as a sub for Amal Pellegrino.
He
hasn't been lately. He did not elaborate. And, you know, Mikey's pretty forthcoming, but he was very one-word answer. Are they available? Yes.
No, did anyone follow up? Because there's nothing really to follow up.
Not really.
Because it's like it shuts it down. You can't be like, oh, so you said they're available. How is their health?
It's good. Yes, they're good.
It's great.
Yes. Yes. They're available.
They're available.
Which is good. I thought perhaps that he was, you know, smoke screening for Minnesota, the opponent, like, well, make them prepare for your stars, maybe, not knowing if they're ready. But Darren said, no, they look fine out in training. He was there early and saw them practicing, and everything seemed like it was normal and good to go. So should be a fairly full-strength SDFC squad for Monday's playoff game. We'll talk with Darren Smith about it coming up at 7:35 this morning. I'll guess I'm Bennett Woods appear on the David P. Shapiro Fan Hotline. David P. Shapiro, criminal defense attorneys, helping good people regain control of their future when charged with a crime since 2010. Visit DavidPShapiroLaw.com. Regular features coming up, including Don't Do This, Take on Woods, our biggest fan announcement, our super sexy Saturday Stinkfist college football schedule, and our Rindle Report in our 9 o'clock hour. We'll get to all of that coming up, but let's start with the San Diego Padres and new manager Craig Stammen and some of the comments that he made with Buster Olney on the Baseball Tonight podcast yesterday. I listened to it on my way home from work.
As
it was about a, you know, 15-minute interview, I'd say. There wasn't a ton of revelatory, you know, big news-making comments from Craig Stammen, but I think both of us were at least enlightened by some of the details that he provided about his relationship with Manny Machado, and we will play those for you right after a check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan.
At Maurice's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Maurice's.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Damn. So Buster Olney and Craig Stammen went over some familiar territory, talked about how AJ kind of talked him into interviewing for the job and groomed him basically for the job from the, you know, time he was a relief pitcher. Often,
it's a word that you can't say anymore, but it is actually the right word, but you can't really say it.
It was, he planted the seed, let's say,
right?
Early, like during Craig Stammen's playing career.
That's also a weird way to put it.
Yes.
That, he planted his seed in Craig Stammen.
It's clear that AJ Preller wanted Craig Stammen thinking about managing from a very early stage in his in his San Diego Padres career, from a player to a front office assistant. He was always like, what would you do in this situation if you were the manager? Or if you were the manager, you know, maybe you would think about doing it this way. Like, they had a lot of conversations like that.
Yep.
And Craig pretty much said, yeah, and for me, it kind of went in one ear, out the other.
Sure.
I didn't really ever picture myself seriously as the manager of the San Diego Padres for whatever reason. But as he explained at his news conference that we went to a couple of weeks ago, you know, AJ very much said, no, I'm very serious about this.
Yeah.
And think you would be an excellent candidate for the job. And if you would be willing to consider it and talk to your family about it, we would like you to sit down and be not just a candidate, but we feel like one of the top candidates for the job.
Yeah, for sure. I think the other interesting thing before we get to the Manny and Tatis stuff was they obviously asked him about the lack of former pitchers being managers, and they ripped off the, you know, five names of guys that have done it. John Farrell, Roger Craig, Bud Black, you know, whatever. It's just such a, it just hasn't happened. I thought it was an astute point by Craig. He goes, yeah, sure. Thought about it. He said, but if you look around baseball right now, you got a lot of teams that are giving former pitchers even more responsibility by placing them in the president of baseball operations, the Craig Breslows of the world, you know,
Chris Young,
right, like former pitchers entrusting their entire scene to pitchers. Pitchers are smart for the most part. They're smart dudes. They especially, like, I always think about, I could sell myself on anything, but I think about Craig Stammen all the times you're just sitting in that bullpen. And you're engaged in the game, and you're going, what's this move? Why him? And I loved what he talked about, the incident with Davey Johnson.
Yep.
I thought that was really interesting. He didn't necessarily say Davey wasn't using him the right way, but he said, I needed to pitch multiple days. I'm a sinker guy. And when my arm's a little beat, you know, I actually need to be throwing. So after a game, I tell the bullpen coach, I need 15 off the mound. The guy's like, great. Davey Johnson sees it, flips out on him. So what are you doing? You think I'm not using you the right way? And he's like, no. Like, so he talks about some of the guys that he came up under, the guys that he's going to be able to lean on. You know, still don't know if he's going to be able to be a great manager. I think it's player dependent, obviously, but certainly is saying a lot of the right stuff.
But he made the point that, you know, while pitchers always have the knowledge necessary probably to be manager, the question mark is always, can you develop meaningful relationships with position players?
Yeah.
Especially when you're out in the bullpen. Like, a lot of bullpen guys are lone wolves. They march to the beat of their own drummer.
They're a
click at the very at the very most, they're a click with their other bullpen guys, maybe a couple of starters, but there's not a lot of crossover. You know, they hang out on their side of the clubhouse, position players are over on their other side of the clubhouse, which kind of precludes the idea of a pitcher, especially a relief pitcher, being a successful manager. But as we remember with Craig Stammen in his career with the Padres, that wasn't really the case.
Yeah.
He interacted with all the players, and he talked specifically when asked about his interactions and relationships with Manny Machado. Buster asked him, Manny, obviously, key relationship for a team leader, you know, best player, all-star, whatever. You know, and he asked him about it, and here's what Craig had to say.
So another thing you'd hear from people, too, is if you're going to manage the Padres, there needs to be some a foundation of a relationship with Manny Machado in particular, being the veteran guy on that team, Fernando Tatis Jr. From what I understand, you have a strong relationship with both guys. Can you just sort of explain your history with those guys and what you see in them?
Yeah, I played with them, both those two guys, for 3 or 4 years and in the clubhouse with them. Me and Manny played cards on every single plane flight the years that we played together. And so you build a relationship with them not only as like teammates, but build a relationship with them and doing other things besides baseball. And our families have become connected. Yaine, his wife, and my wife are good friends. And our relationship goes beyond baseball, and hopefully, like, it becomes something that we both enjoy, that manager-star-player relationship where we can take each other to a place, you know, maybe we couldn't go separately. And then Tatis is a generational player, someone that, like, when I was pitching, he'd make plays behind me. I just, like, in awe of the things he could do. And so having that respect for him and having seen him at his best, I think allows me to, you know, hopefully push him to be at his best and not take, you know, some of the days where he's just like, you know, maybe I'm going to take a day off today, but push him to be the best that he can be, you know, be that MVP caliber player that we all think he can be.
Did he step in it a little bit there?
Maybe.
Yeah. I thought, when I heard it, I went, maybe I'll take a day off. I mean, Fernando played a lot of games last year. The body language experts were out in droves last year. The body language.
I mean, clearly Fernando had a couple of massive slumps, especially at the plate, where, you know, he didn't look like he was happy at all about how things were going. I don't know that you want to accuse a guy of taking days off when they're out there and they're just struggling. But, you know, in that sense, I think we all know that Fernando wasn't always at his best the whole year. I don't think he's revealing any deep, dark secrets about the San Diego Padres. He also called him a generational talent and the team's best player, essentially. So it wasn't an insult fest by Craig Stammen, but I was a little concerned when I heard that.
Yeah, I mean, I think he stepped in it just a little bit, but again, it didn't make me go, oh God, there's unrest. You know, the guy played last year. played in 155 games last year, so not a lot of days off. Now, 102 the year before, 141.
And I think half of those days off were in the last week of the season after they had already clinched.
So Fernando's not a guy you have to worry about. I mean, I love that, too, about Fernando. And I know he didn't have his best offensive year ever. So I do like the idea of pushing him a little bit more. And again, the fact that there's a relationship between those guys hopefully allows him to push both of those dudes. But, you know, again, people like to bloviate about the manager's role.
I guess my question is, what do you want Fernando pushed to do?
Yeah, you can't just say
he's a platinum glove defender,
right,
which means you can't push him any further. He's the best defensive player in baseball, which defense is certainly even more of an indicator of
locked in,
effort.
First thing to go, dude.
Hustle, focus is defense. Offense is much less related to those things. You can struggle offensively despite being completely locked in. You know, prepared, do all your homework, look at all the video of the pitchers,
and then you don't get the results, and then you get bummed out.
And then
you
get bummed out a million times.
Right.
So pushing him, you know, can have a lot of different looks. Like, you may have to push him to work less sometimes. Don't spend so much time in the cages. Just rely on
what
your instincts and your natural talent sometimes. We don't know what that looks like. But when, you know, Fernando wins a platinum glove, when he does what he does on the base paths, that tells me the effort, the energy, the focus, the preparation, those are all clearly there for Fernando Tatis Jr. And anyone who tries to tell you otherwise, because they don't like his body language, you need to check yourself on Fernando Tatis Jr.
Well, the other thing, too, is a lot of these guys, and you see it in a lot of sports, you can't win. Francisco Lindor is another name that comes to mind. He's such a great player, elite talent for the New York Mets. And I can recall when he was really scuffling last year. He's a smiley guy. He would smile. He would smile his way through it, and Met fans wanted to kill him. Oh, is this funny? Is this 0-for-19 funny? Is this whatever? Is that funny? I don't know what fans want. And if you worry about what fans want, I don't think you can be at your best. You really can't. Like, you have to be yourself. Craig Stammen, all I ask of him as the manager is let these dudes, like I told him on our first interview, you have to let the big dogs eat. Right? And Fernando's a big dog. Let him eat. You know, Jackson Merrill's a big dog. Let him eat. Manny Machado. Let those guys eat and do what they do. I'm not saying stay out of their way, but like, let them do what they do. Don't try to change them. Don't try to make them into different players. Let them be who they are. And I think that would go a long way with those dudes. And you know what, man? Like, I've never had a problem with Fernando hanging his head because striking out sucks. Not coming through sucks. People would have flipped their wig on him, Ben, if he struck out and was like, I don't care. Smiling, and that's the perception you have of like, oh, he's smiling. He doesn't care. What do you want? Like, does he need to beat up the cooler after every 0-for-8? Who does that make feel better? Makes you feel better. Oh, he really, really cares. But the guy, like you said, he went out and won a platinum glove last year. That tells me, man, he wasn't bringing any of those struggles into the field at all. And that's like, that's like the first place it goes. You strike out, you ground out, you hit into a double play, and you go out to right field, and then you're really, really bummed. See it all the time.
The Andrew Jones story.
The Andrew Jones story.
Getting pulled out of center field.
Yeah, like. So I think, you know, look, this is a tough place to manage for anybody. A veteran, but, you know, a guy that at least, the thing I make myself feel better about is, like, at least he knows these cats and has played with these cats, and they know that he's done it at that level, and they played behind him.
Now,
that's a win for me. Now, we'll see how it shakes out, but I don't know.
The revelation about playing cards with Manny on every single plane flight, I found interesting. Now, I
found that so interesting.
I've never played cards with big leaguers on a plane, but I've got to imagine that you can't have that big of a group. It's a plane. Probably like 4 or 5 people at most who are playing these card games.
But we heard about these,
and the fact that
these card games.
The fact that he was always part of it is significant because I'd imagine, you know, you had a couple other people rotating in, but he and Manny were always part of that that gang that clearly were, you know, leaders of that team and in that clubhouse. Like, you went to Manny or Craig Stammen. Those were the guys that kind of were the organizers of activity that were, you know, very much the center of clubhouse life for the San Diego Padres.
So my first question to Manny at spring training is, who's up? Because I've heard these aren't quarter buy-ins. You know, we're not doing dime blinds here. Double the blinds for 20 cents. That's what I've heard, at least. Like, this gets pretty serious. So, like, what? Who's up? Who's got the plus in front of their name right now?
Well, if Craig Stammen did too poorly, he wouldn't have been able to stay in those
games. Dude, because Manny made a ton of money. Craig Stammen made, like, good money, yeah, but he didn't make Manny money. He didn't make Manny money.
So I thought that was interesting. And then one thing that I did not realize, and Paulie, if you can pull back the still shot of the podcast for our YouTube stream, because I listened to it, but I didn't watch it. It looks as though Craig is doing his half of the interview from, I would think, like a home office, looked like, perhaps. Did you see what was on the wall behind him? Thought was kind of significant. He had a framed picture of Peter Seidler
on the
wall with the quote, and I could not read the quote.
Was it a
Parade in San Diego
one
quote?
One day soon, the baseball gods.
That's what I thought as well. And, you know, I don't know if I want to read too much into that, but you put that up in your own office, in your own room. To me, I liked to see that from Craig Stammen, that he's got that connection, you know, with Peter Seidler that so many fans feel as well.
Sure.
And that's important to him. Peter's message and his legacy, which, you know, there's the Seidler brothers are selling the team. But that doesn't mean that Peter's legacy goes away.
I said that the day that they announced it.
We get to carry that on. And look at Craig Stammen back there carrying that on. Even if the Seidlers are gone, that's important enough to Craig Stammen to put that up in his office.
Is that a home office, you think, or is that a
Could be either Petco. Way, but I'm not sure. Could be at Petco, could be at home. Looks more home, but I have no idea.
Yeah.
No, the roof looks more office-y than homey.
Look, all this is fodder, right? It's just fodder until March 26th against Tarek Skubal. You know, that's really what it is. I don't care about how he does in spring training. I don't care about anything until March 26th against Tarek Skubal at Petco Park. That's the only thing that matters for Craig Stammen, and he'll have a chance to develop those relationships from now until then, develop new ones with some of the guys that he didn't play with. I'm interested to see how it shakes out. I can't sit in here and say, oh, this guy's gangbusters, 100 wins. I'd be a fool to say that. A fool. So we'll see.
One year soon, the baseball gods will smile on the San Diego Padres, and we will have a parade.
Any day now. I'm ready, Peter.
Love to see it. We'll come back. San Diego State played the wildest game of the year in college basketball until last night when Troy did it again. Tell you about it next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.